Okay, it's good to see everyone back. I hope everyone's week is going well. Today's learning should be Lili Nishmas, my grandmother's yard site, which is this week. A few days ago on Yod Bet Cheshvan, her name was Yehudis Bas of Yosef Halevi. So three ideas today that we're going to try to connect all of them together. The first idea, we're going to take something from the Parsha. We're going to say something about Sarah's nursing. Second idea, we're going to talk about a Jewish baby nursing overall. Beautiful idea from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And then third idea, we're going to connect it all back to Kristallnacht tonight. I'm not sure if anyone here knows, but tonight is the yard site, the 16th of Cheshvan, Kristallnacht, which my grandmother actually, unfortunately, had to leave. Well, let's start off with the Parsha. The Parsha talks about a lot of themes going on in the Parsha. But if you look in Perichof Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Yitzchak Avinu is born in the beginning of Perichof Aleph. And finally, Pasuk says in Pasuk Zayin, Vatomer, and Sarah says, Mi Mila La Avram, who is going to be the one who's going to make this feast? Right? She said, who is the one who said to Avram, Sarah, when there's children, for I've borne a son in his old age. So Rashi picks up on the Lashon of Banim, right? Yitzchak was only one. Sarah didn't have twins. So why? So Rashi asks, why does the Pasuk say that Sarah will nurse children? Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Pezayin Amar Aleph, Beyom HaMishta, on the day of this great feast that Avram Avinu made for Yitzchak, what happened? Heviu hasoros b'nei'an imohen v'henika osam. The princesses of the land, the princesses brought their children, and they were making fun of this. Sarah. They said, Sarah, such an old lady, can give birth to Yitzchak, and they started bringing up all these things, that Sarah's not really her mother, not Yitzchak's mother, and maybe she stole him from the marketplace, right? A crazy, crazy thing. Says the end of the Gemara, Shayu almost loyal to Sarah. They said that Sarah didn't have Yitzchak. Ela sufa heviu min hashuk, that she just brought him from the shuk. So what happened was, the end of the Gemara says that what happened was that Avram had all these women come, and they didn't have any food over there. The Gemara says that Sarah Menu somehow had a miraculous thing, and she was able to nurse all of the princesses' babies that they came. And Sarah nursed all of their children. The problem with that is brought down by the Sefer Madani Asher. The second week in a row we use the Sefer. Madani Asher quotes the Taz in the Sefer called Divrei David, who asked the following question. The halacha is brought down in Yoredei Halachos Avodah Kechavim, Siman Kufn and Dalet, that a Jewish woman is not allowed to nurse a non-Jew. And quoting the Mordechai says that a Jewish woman is not allowed to nurse a non-Jew, even if it's for money. Because one day that baby will maybe serve Avodah Zarah, so it's best to not do that. So the question is, then how did Sarah do this? So a lot of you are thinking, oh, it's before Matan Torah, so the Avos didn't keep it good. So that's a simple answer, but the classic answer. But I want to try to go a little deeper. Before we go a little deeper, just talk. If we had Rav Shechter here last Shabbos, and I saw in one of his Sfarim, said an amazing thing. He said that the Rav Soloveitchik used to always say the following story, Parshas Lech Lecha. I thought it had maybe a little connection to. He says there's once a Chassidish Rebbe who used to always say Shal Shudas Parshas Lech Lecha. He used to start off Shal Shudas. You know, by the Chassidim, Shal Shudas is Ne'ilah. It's a very very special time of the week, Rav de Ravin. And he used to always start off Shal Shudas with the following question. He says, Why does Lech Lecha have two Chesses, and why are the Chesses big? So the story goes, Rav Shechter writes in his Sefer Panini Arav, what are you talking about, Rabbi? There's no Lech Lecha. First of all, they're chafs. And if you look in the Sefer Torah, they're not big. So the story goes that Rav Shechter said it's a good answer, but that's a simple answer, but there's also a deeper answer. So I asked Rav Shechter on Shabbos, like, what was the deeper answer? He said that story never happened. He said the Rav wanted to say the following thing. He said, whenever you're learning, you know, sometimes you want to go deeper, you want to go for the deeper answers and the Rav Chaims and the Ksoses and the whole Rav Chaim Briskers, and you want to go so deep. Sometimes look for the simple answer. Sometimes the Rav is trying to teach his students. Sometimes, you know, start off with the simple answer. Don't have to get fancy with the Chakiras and the whole Lumdus and the whole showing off. First, start off with the simple answer, and then you could go a little deeper. So I thought that has something to do. So the simple answer for us is that it's very Pashut. Avram Avinu kept the Torah, but who says Sarah did? Who said Sarah? So we're going to say five answers tonight, brought down by the Sefer Madani Asher, of why, how is it that Sarah nursed? If the halach is that a Jew is not allowed to nurse a non-Jew, even if it's for money, says the Mordechai. So the first answer, the Taz writes in the Sefer Divrei David, right? The Taz is the one who even brings up this question. And the Taz says the following. says it's only usr if it's a permanent thing. Meaning, it's only usr if Sarah Aminu would come every single day on Tuesday at 6 o'clock to nurse. But if it's a one-time thing, which it was, then it's no problem. The second answer he quotes from the Paris Yosef, who says something very fascinating. So he quotes the Ramah. If you look in the end of that simon, Simon Kuf Nun Dalid, in a different simon, in Simon Kuf Nun Dalid, but this is in Evan Ezer, the Ramah says an amazing thing. The halacha is, if a Jewish woman has a lot of milk and she's being pained by that milk, she has a heter that she's allowed to let it out. So here, what happened? The Gemara says the milk, right? She's mitzdar. The Ramah says there, then it's no problem. Here, what happened? It was a miracle. It was a miracle happening. So maybe we could say that says it's a part of Yosef. Maybe we could say that Sarah was in pain and it was flowing so much she had a heter to be able to nurse the non-Jewish kids. Says the third answer, the Paris Yosef quotes his son. So this is actually the most famous answer, or one of the answers that I connected to very much. This is the following. It says, what was the whole problem of nursing? One day they're going to serve up, they're going to bring Avodah Zarah, right? It says, what's going to happen now? The princesses are going to come, are going to see Sarah Aminu, the person who they thought couldn't have a child, she wasn't able to, and not only is she nursing her son, she's nursing everyone's son. What are they going to want to do? They're going to want to convert. And they're going to want to see, wow, Hashem, they're either talking about monotheism so much, says this Paris Yosef, quoting his son, it's going to do the opposite effect. Because it had the opposite effect, not only was it not going to do a Vodazar, but it was going to actually be Makari of those Jewish women, so therefore it would be no problem. The fourth answer is also brought down by the Chida and the Shut Ramah and Simon Yod, which you said before. And who says that Sarah Aminu kept the Torah before the Torah was given? Maybe only Avram Avinu says, and that's how the Ramah paskin. The Ramah and the Chida both paskin that only Avram kept the Torah before it was given. And finally, the Sefer Madani Asher quotes himself, and he says that maybe she only gave the milk to those people who were converting. Meaning, the Gemara says that she gave it to the princesses, but maybe she only gave it to the people who are converting, and therefore it would be no problem. So five answers how Sarah Aminu could have nursed a non-Jewish baby when the halacha is that it's not possible. The first answer we saw from the Taz, he says it's a one-time thing. The only issue is when it's permanent, no problem. The second answer, the Paris Yosef says, the Ramah says that you have a heter, that a Jewish woman has a heter once it's mitzdar. If she's mitzdar, then it's no problem. And we know the Gemara says that she was overflowing, so she had to, therefore it's no problem. Third answer we saw that I like the answer the most is that the Isser was against going Avodah Zarah. Because what's going to happen? They're going to serve Avodah Zarah one day. But here, the princess, right, if you could just imagine that scene happening, right, if you're a Jewish woman there and you think that she stole a woman, that she stole a kid, not only did she steal a kid, but she's nursing everyone, they're going to want to leave their Avodah Zarah and they're going to want to come back to Torah. Finally, the fourth answer brought down by the Chida and the Ramah is that Sarah Aminu maybe didn't keep the Torah, all the Torah before it was given. And finally, the fifth answer by the Madani Asher is that she only nursed the women that were converting. Please, Shalom. Yeah.
To these.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying there's a difference. But I hear what you're saying. Very good point. I don't know. It's a good point. It doesn't say the halacha not to give non-Jews food. It does say in the halacha that a person should try not. Actually, we're going to get to that right here.
And there's the third answer is the best answer for the simple reason.
Yeah,
that she could have actually proven by giving to the Yitzchak to
them. Oh.
So the third answer covers that.
Right. So the third answer covers that whole spectrum.
What did it in reverse?
Yeah.
For a non-Jewish woman to
know. Oh, so that's exactly, thank you so much, that's exactly what we're getting to right now. This happens to be one of the, sometimes like you have Divrei Torah that you never forget, and then there's a lot of Torah, unfortunately, that you do forget. This happens to be one of the things that I try to think about a lot, just because it's such chizik. So, if you want to see this inside, it's the Emes Yaakov. This is the second idea. This is going to be our bridge back to, I guess, Machshava, what that means. So, Emes Yaakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky brings down an unbelievable idea in Parsha Shemos, dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't nurse from the Egyptian nurses, and it was a whole thing. So Rav Yaakov quotes like this. He quotes the Ramban Yoredeus and Pei Aleph. Cholav mitzris kecholav Yisraelis. Says the Egyptian milk is like Jewish milk. Umikol malkom, nevertheless, lo yaniku tinuk mina mitzris. He said a Jewish child should try not to nurse from an Egyptian woman. Why? Im efshar b'Yisraelis techolav avodas kecholav imtamtim halev umoli lo tevara. Somehow, some way, it's going to hurt the child's neshama, lev, whatever it is, and it's not so good for him. Says the Gra, the Bir Gra, if you look on the Daf in the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra quotes the Rashba, who's the source that we learn this from, that a Jewish child, if he has the option of Egyptian milk and Jewish milk, he should really try to choose the Jewish milk. Who's the source? Moshe Rabbeinu, because one day, Shehaya Asa Ladaber Ima Shechina, because one day he's going to speak to the Shechina. Ask of Yaakov Kamenetsky, how are you giving a halacha for the whole Jewish people? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, one day he was going to speak to the Shechina, that's going to change the whole Jewish history forever until Mashiach. I understand Moshe was going to speak to the Shechina, amazing. But how can one person's conversation, Moshe Rabbeinu, how could that, well, one day he's going to speak to the Shechina, how could that change halacha, the halacha for all time, that every Jewish child now should always try to have Jewish milk? So this is where it gets me, because just I'm in chinuch, and you know, as a parent, this is so special. I just want to read it inside. Umuvur says we have to explain. Mizeh limud gadol beinin chinuch. It's such an amazing lesson in chinuch, in bringing up our children, grandchildren. Shetzorich ha'av liten labanov. A father has to give his children. V'hainu l'shalakol yeled katan yesh sikui l'daber im hashchina. That you should view your child as a Moshe Rabbeinu. That he has the potential to be his own Moshe Rabbeinu. And so much so, that changes the halacha for all time. Meaning, not everyone's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We know the halacha is that there's never going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Rambam writes, there's never going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. But we have to, on the level of la'asid, la'dabar im hashchina, that everything we do, every decision we say, where they're going to go to school, where they're going to go to camp, every decision should be with that kavana of asid la'dabar im hashchina. Bedusha Batar. Such an amazing, amazing yisur. Because sometimes you think, you know, my kid's not going to be the biggest Rosh Hashiva or the biggest guy, you know, the biggest Talmid Chacham, you know, he can do whatever he wants. No, says Rav Yaakov, we have to make sure that every single day that they have the potential to reach their own potential, and to not think that they're not going to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu, but that on their own potential, that they're going to one day, not only one day, but even right now, they have the amazing ability to be able to speak to the Shechina. Finally, just to connect all this to Kristallnacht, I got a great set of svarim from my friend of Binyamin Dundel. If you've ever been to the Five Towns, there's a great svarim store, Judaica, called Judaica Plus. Right, there's two stores over there, Z Berman and Judaica Plus. So he happens to work in Judaica Plus. I used to give him some rides back from the Heights. Right, the Heights to Woodmere is not the easiest drive, so sometimes I would give him some rides, and he would give me like some svarim that he couldn't go hold on to. So I thank him very much for that. So this is one of the things he gave me. Rav Shimon Schwab was the Rav of Congregation Kahal Hadas Ushurin in Washington Heights. So they used to put out, in 1988, they put out some of his talks on different topics. So in 1988, on November 10th, 19, like the night after, basically, the night after Kristallnacht, he was talking all about Kristallnacht. So Rav Schwab, coming from Germany, it was something very powerful. So he says the following. The Medrash says in Koheles the following thing. If a person wants to tell you, yesh chachma bagoyim, that the non-Jews have wisdom, tamen, you're allowed to believe them. Yesh Torah bagoyim, but if they tell you that they have Torah, atamen, don't believe them. So if Shab goes in such in a powerful, powerful words, what exactly this medrash means, that they have wisdom, but they don't have Torah. So I just want to read it inside, just because he says it so beautifully. The lessons of Kristallnacht from one November 9th to the other, is Torah's Begoyim al Tamin. Don't believe there's Torah among the Goyim. Let us not make the same mistakes as our ancestors to believe that there's any other ethical culture for us besides the Torah. I recall when I became a bar mitzvah, there was a large table at which all the gifts were displayed. Some people still do that. I received a shas from my grandfather, a rarity in those days. I got Mishnayos, I got a Rambam. But believe it or not, I got a set of Schiller, a set of Goth, of Gilpetz, I'm not sure if I'm totally botching the of Lessing, of Sarmesso. I got all the classics. It seems like these were German ethical books. And so did all the Bar Mitzvah boys back then. Another lesson from Kristallnacht. Give the Bar Mitzvah boys Sfarim. If they're fluent in Hebrew, give them art school. If they can't read Lashon HaKodesh, give them translations. But classics, this is not done anymore. A tremendous lesson. If Gentiles develop an ethical culture group, good for them. They need it. For us, it means nothing. It's a thin veneer which does not penetrate. It fades away. The Nazis were all students. Were also students of Schiller and Goethe. They studied ethics and how do you pronounce it? Goethe. Okay, sorry, I'm not so fluent in my German books here. They studied ethics and humanism, and then they tortured and burnt and destroyed one third of our people. These were the students of this empty humanistic culture. It has lost all meaning for us. Only the teachers of Torah are entitled to teach what is right and good and true and beautiful. I am certain that the saintly neshama of Rav Hirsch in Gan Eden will agree with my conclusion. And he talks about how the pasuk connects it to Parshas Vayera. But I think the message is very powerful. So sometimes, you know, it might look like there's ethics and there's ethical society and culture and everything's great. But at the end of the day, to be able to know how to live, there's only one thing we learned from, that's from the Holy Torah. So I think this connects very much to everything we learned about. Is that obviously we have to be involved in the world. But at the end of the day, to know how do we live our lives, that's only from the Holy Torah. So we should be zocheh b'ez Hashem, the Shabbos, to understand the tremendous lessons that we learned, first and foremost from the halachas we learned about nursing non-Jewish children, but the amazing message of Yaakov Kamenetsky that every single one of our children, we should view them as their own Moshe Rabbeinu. Be'ez Hashem, we should do this. All the tonight going into Kristanach, all those neshamas and all the neshamas that are in Olam Haba, they should be made a Yosher for us and for the Jewish people. Shkar.
Very good.